Well, good morning, church. How are we feeling this morning? We good? Man, wasn't that a powerful, powerful time of singing and worship? I just looked back and I just saw so many people going all in on that, and it was just really, really, really awesome. That song means a lot to me, and I think it's just because there's so many times we go through things where we wouldn't have written the story that way, but we know that we can trust in the one who does write our story, the author and perfecter of our faith. And so, man, I'm excited that you're here today. I'm hoping today will be a very inspirational and also a very helpful day. Today's going to be a little bit different as we close up this Overwhelmed series, a little different than what we've been doing the past 4 weeks in this Overwhelmed series. What I've been doing the past 4 weeks is I've been sharing with you some things that I feel like the Lord has been teaching me through this season of my life. Over the past 3 months, especially after losing Amanda. And so I've been kind of walking through that stuff, and hopefully it's been helpful to you. Has it been helpful to you as well? How about last week? Was last week fun? Wasn't that just so much fun? I told you last week could have been, for me, the last message I ever preached, and that would have been okay with me, but I guess the Lord saw differently, and he kept me alive this week. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We're about to find out. Apparently, he had one more message, at least, that he wanted me to deliver to you guys today. And I think this is going to be extremely, extremely helpful, because every one of us has thought about one thing this week. This is kind of a common characteristic of all of us. There's one vein of thought or thread of thought that every one of us has dealt with this week, and that's the thought of money, right? How many would just be honest in here and say at least one time this week you thought about money, okay? All right, if you don't have your hands raised, you're a liar, because, and we're glad you're at church because Jesus forgives liars, it's okay, but man, every one of us, and it's not just that we think about it. We also, if you're a married couple especially, you fight about it, right? And you stress over it, and you lose sleep over it, and it's something that can overwhelm us. And I thought we would be completely remiss if we didn't go through this overwhelm, if we went through all of the Overwhelmed series and we didn't talk about at least how to deal with being overwhelmed in your finances. Because here's the problem. Most of the time in church world, we'll shy away from talking about this. Because this is why. As soon as, I can read everybody's faces. I wish you could see like a pastor. They're like, we need to put like a pastor cam right here. It'd be awesome, right? We could just like flip it on screen and let you see your faces. As soon as I said the word money, all of a sudden you got like the bitter beer face. You know what I'm saying? It was like, talking about money again. You know, the church just needs my money, and that's why we're talking about money. All the churches all of a sudden in this really tough time, and they need, the pastor needs to buy some more jeans with holes in them, and so they need to talk about money. Right? You know, you pay extra for these, just so you know. But no. That's not why we talk about money. That's not why we talk about it at all. In fact, I'll be complete disclosure with you. There have been times in the past, as a church, where we've talked about money and we've been under pressure financially, because you're, as a church startup, you know, if you're a business person, anytime you start a business up, you're just like, I don't even know if I can pay the bills this week, kind of thing. And we've experienced that as a church, but for the first time in our history, we are great financially. Like, yeah, I mean, awesome. And a large part of that is because you guys have stepped up, bought in, and said, hey, we're going to honor God in our financial world, and we're going to give to this mission. And so we are in a great position. So literally, guys, I woke up this morning, and I was like, I'm so glad I can preach on money and not feel any pressure, because here's what I can do. I can talk to you from the standpoint of, hey, this is just how you win with your finances personally. This is how you, some of us are overwhelmed with our finances, and you just like, you're like clawing out of this thing. You're trying to figure out how to do this. And I want to help you learn how to claw out of it. Some of you, you're not overwhelmed. You're in a great place, but I can promise you storms are coming in your life. And although you can't control the storms in your life, what you can do is you can control the sales. And you can control the response that you have and the preparation that you have prior to the storms that help you as you navigate through those storms. And one of those sails, a key sail in that sailboat, is finances. I can tell you this. I'm really grateful that throughout basically my whole life, my parents modeled for me God's way with finances, because the past 3 months have been the largest storm in my life. And I can tell you one thing, financially, I haven't had to think about it. And that's not because there's something special about me. It's because God has come through on his promises in my life and said, hey, David, you've honored me. I'm going to honor you. Let's worry about all the other stuff you have to deal with and not the finances. And that's what I want for you. Because there's a lot of storms in life that we can't control. So what we need to talk about is I'm going to give you this is going to be so practical and hopefully very helpful for you, but three basic guidelines for how God says to handle our money. And you might be like, why should I worry about what God says with my money? Well, for one, he invented it. Okay? So and he actually has a lot to say about money. You know, Jesus actually talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined. So the reason is because Jesus knew that it stressed us out. It wasn't any different back in that day. Everybody else was financially stressed. And Jesus is like, hey, man, I don't want you to feel that. I want you to have what most people consider an oxymoron, financial peace. That's what I want you to have. Kind of like airline service, right? Oxymoron, military intelligence. No, I want you to have financial peace. And so Jesus talked about it a lot. And I want you to win with your finances. So let me kind of set it up this way, because I think this is a really great thing. I am a sweater. Some of you are like, I noticed. Like, I just like sweat profusely. So when I go to the gym and I work out, I like to see how much I can sweat. I literally like to wring out my shirt afterwards. I feel like I got a good workout in if I can wring out my shirt, and it's just nasty. When I get on the treadmill, it's like just, it like it's not splotches, it's puddles all over the treadmill. I feel bad for the person who comes after me because I usually don't clean it up. I try to remember, but sometimes I'm just in the zone. And so I sweat. And I'll sweat when I preach. I watched the message from last week, which, pause, by the way, I need you to understand something. We put a little clip from the message from last week up, and we had 16,000 views this week on that clip. Okay? 40,000 reaches on Facebook. So I say that not to boast of anything that we're doing, but to boast in the Lord and the fact that there are people all over the country and the world looking on and trying to figure out what is going on at Resonate Church right now. What's going on? Because God's doing something. So last week I was watching, I was like, man, I've got like pit sweat like crazy. Awesome. 40,000 people just saw my pit sweat, right? And I normally have it under control. I probably have it going on right now too. I normally have it under control because I have this product called Certain Dry, but I hadn't been using it in a while. And the first time I got introduced to this product, somebody said, hey man, you really need to use this product. It will like stop up the sweat in places where you don't want to sweat. Now I've started sweating in other places, like my toes. I'm like, what? How did water come out of my toenail? Like, that doesn't make sense. But I guess somehow it's got to come out. But I'd rather that than my armpit. So the person gave this to me and said, hey, here's the problem though. You need to make sure. They gave me this warning. Make sure to follow the directions. And this is what they said. They said, Davey, this is a powerful thing if you follow the directions, but it's very, very irritating if you don't. Well, I'm a dude. We don't follow directions, right? We like open up the thing and start putting it together before we ever like, oh, maybe we should follow directions 3 hours later, right? So I just grabbed this thing one morning. It was actually before I was going to preach one morning a couple years ago, and I put it on. Well, what I didn't know is they said, okay, you need to put this on at night, sleep on it before you have, and you got to have at least 12 hours before you actually put regular deodorant on. Otherwise, there'll be a chemical reaction that just won't be good. I didn't follow the directions. I didn't even read the directions. So I woke up one morning. I was like, man, I better put this stuff on. I don't want to pit sweat like crazy. So I start putting this on. And then I'm like, well, I need to smell good too because this is unscented. So I put some Old Spice on. That day when I'm preaching, if you go back and watch the message, you might think that I'm doing like the chicken dance because I'm over there like doing this the whole time. Because something's just irritating. I'm like, what is that? I get home, and I'm, kid you not, this entire area is completely rashed over in red. By the next day, there were boils. Let's pray and go home. I learned something that day. I learned, hey, you know what? Maybe the inventor or the chemist that put this thing together knows a little bit more than I do about how this product works. You know what? Money's the same way. Money can be a powerful tool, if you follow the directions. But it can be very irritating when you don't. I mean, if we're just going to like level the playing field, I'd probably venture to say that most of us, man, we've been in that irritating place when it comes to money. We've been overwhelmed with our finances. In fact, you can pull out that little sheet right there. I'm not going to call anybody out or anything like that, but here's what I want to know. I want to know, out of those seven, how many people in here, let's just be honest, how many of you checkmarked three of them at least? Three of them? Look around. Look at that. Lots of people, right? I mean, we could go all the way up, but I don't want to call anybody out, but at least two-thirds of the people in here said, hey, man, I checkmarked three of them. Some people in here like, all seven. Seven's the perfect number, baby. Let's go. Right? And that's just testimony to the fact that it can be a very irritating thing. And so here's what I want to do. I just want to talk to you about, okay, how does God lay out in his word how we are blessed with our finances? Okay, like too blessed to stress. You know what I'm talking about? That was a good, really cool phrase. You're supposed to write that down. I should have seen everybody's heads go, Pastor Cam didn't work right there. Too blessed to stress. I want to talk about that. So let me show you a passage in scripture, and we're gonna talk about this today. Okay. So here's this in 2 Chronicles. Okay. We've been talking about David, and this is what happens. David sets forth to build God's temple, the church, and this is what happens at the very end of building the temple. God puts his blessing on the work that had been done. It says this: the house, just to clarify, then the house of the Lord, okay, was filled with a cloud. Every time you see something filled with a cloud in scripture, it means God's blessing is on that. It means that God's presence is there, and he's saying, hey, this is good. I'm going to bless this, okay? It says it was filled with a cloud so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. So in other words, like, God's blessing was so heavy in the place that the pastor was like, I ain't preaching, right? Which some of you are like, that would be awesome. Can we like invoke the presence of God in that way and just like get out of here early? It was so heavy. It was so blessed that the priest said, we can't do it. Let's put that back up there. Put it back up. Okay. It says, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Now stop. I want to look at that very end because God blessed this because there were three things that were in place. And I believe that if we were to take this passage and this one verse and put it into our financial life, we could see how God would bless our finances. Okay, look, it says this: for the glory of the Lord, how many people would not be opposed to this? Filled the fill in your name finances. Would anybody be opposed to God blessing their finances? No. Like, hey man, bring it on. I'll take as heavy as you possibly can. Like, bless my finances. And there's a formula that happened here that before God could bless it, had to be in order. Listen to me very carefully. God cannot bless something that is not in order. He can't. It's not that he won't. It's outside of his nature. God is a God of order. He brings chaos to order. He brings from the ashes and the ruins, he brings life. And so he cannot bless something that is out of order. So here's the order. I want to give you the three, and then we'll walk through them individually. Check out the order right here. Number one is this: bring back. Just write, bring back. Bring back. Number two, store up. Store up. And then number three, manage well. Okay? Bring back, store up, manage well. Bring back, store up, manage well. Say it with me. Bring back, store up, manage well. One more time. Bring back, store up, manage well. We're going to like create like a rap thing and put it on an album. I think it'd be really, really good. This is the formula. This is the formula. Now, there's always a critic in church when you talk about this kind of stuff, because someone who's like, well, I don't want to be blessed in my finances because money is the root of all evil, right? It's like, shut up. No, I mean, actually, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So there's some people that will try to get you to buy into this philosophy that is called poverty theology, that basically says you're not a good Christian, you're not a good follower of Jesus unless you sell everything you have, go live among the Aborigines, and be homeless for the rest of your life. That's poverty theology. Here's the problem with that. The like founder of the very beginning of our faith, Father Abraham. Remember that? Father Abraham had many sons and many sons had, right? It's going to be stuck in your head all day. It's going to be awesome. The founder, God blessed richly with his finances. But listen, he didn't bless him for himself. He blessed him so he could be a blessing. Why would God not want his people to have the richest blessings, a people that say, hey, you know what? I want to do something good in this world. I want to actually change things about society. Why would he not bless the people that have generous hearts, hopefully? Why would he not want to bless them? But then there's this other side of the equation that's called prosperity theology that basically says this. If you give to God, you've probably heard it like in the really bad TV preachers, right? If you sow a seed in this ministry, right? If you sow a seed in my, right? And they got the hang. Sow a seed in this ministry, you're going to go to your mailbox and there's going to be a big check for like 8 times the amount, right? You ever heard of that? And that's not true either. You can't back God into a corner with your finances. But there is this structure that God says, hey, you know what? I'm going to bless if this structure is in place. Bring back, store up, manage well. So let's talk about the first one. Bring back. Bring back. Bring back. I would say there are people who are, we could say are really devoted to things, right? If you're devoted, you're like, man, I'm gonna do whatever I have to like be all in on this. I started thinking about this. I was like, man, there's lots of people who are devoted to different things. Like this, for instance, there are some people who are devoted to hunting, right? Raise your hand if you're devoted to hunting. Okay, I'm not gonna make fun of you too much, but I'd like if you're a hunter, like you're devoted to that. You will wake up at like the crack of, I mean, not before the crack of dawn, right? It's like the lower back of dawn. You know what I'm saying? And you will go to great extents to make sure you get your catch or your game for that day, right? I remember the first time someone tried to get me to go hunting. They were like, hey, we're going to wake up at 3 a.m. I was like, 3? There's really like a 3 in the a.m. side of the clock? Like, that's crazy. And then they're like, okay, yeah, we're going to do this. And they suited me all up. And they said, here, put this on. I was like, what is this? It smells weird. They said, yeah, it's deer pee. I was like, no, done. I'm done now. Right? People, they're devoted, man. They're all in on that, right? Okay, so the next one I thought about was this. These guys. In the snow. Look at the guy in the middle. He's like, nah, I ain't there, bro. I ain't there. These guys were all in, right? They are devoted to this. What about this right here? At the last Star Wars movie, people were like in throngs, you know, just getting there before, you know, I mean, well before midnight for the showing and stuff. And they're all dressed up. And, you know, these are mostly nerds that love this. I love Star Wars, but I'm not going to make fun of them too much because they could shut down the entire world with one click of a computer. So we're not going to. But man, they're devoted to this, right? They are all in. And I started thinking about that. Man, there's a group of people about 2,000 years ago that were devoted to something. And I wonder if we got devoted to that the way that they got devoted to that. This is the early Christians, the people that after they literally saw Jesus die on the cross and then witnessed the fact that he had raised from the dead, right? That said over 500 people witnessed the fact that Jesus raised from the dead. And so they began spreading the word about this. And it says in Acts chapter 2, they were devoted. It says they devoted themselves to the preaching of God's word, the teaching, the gathering together, the breaking bread together. And because they were so devoted to the Lord, God began to change their heart. He began to break down their walls. He began to show them, hey, you know what? What if we just helped people who were in need? What if we just gave freely of our stuff? What if we actually recognized that it wasn't my stuff, right? But it's God's stuff that's been stewarded to me for a season, and we helped people where there was need. And in that season, did you know that for that group of people, everywhere they traveled, change began to happen? And they go into a city, and when they go into these particular cities and they begin to do these particular things because they were devoted to Jesus, crime rates dropped. Poverty levels dropped. The whole sex trafficking thing, oh yeah, it took place back then, it dropped. People were so mad who were running businesses like that that they tried to kick them out of the town because these people were so devoted to Jesus and they showed it with their stuff. See, here's the thing I've learned about devotion. You can't say you're devoted to something without your dollars going there. There's a direct line from your wallet to your worship. You think about your life, think about the things that you're devoted in. It wouldn't take me very long to point out what you're most devoted to if you just let me see your credit card statement or your bank statement. You can tell. And so David, before God blessed the house, way before that, in 1 Chronicles, this is what happened with David. David got this heart of devotion. It's going to be up here on the screen. He says this: "Moreover, in addition to all that I have provided for the holy house, I have a treasure of my own of gold and silver." So he says, okay, so as a king, in the king's treasury, I like put a bunch away so that we could build the house. But then also my personal bank account, it says I provided gold and silver, and because of my, what's that word? Devotion. Oh, come on. Don't get silent on me right now because we're talking about money. Because of my devotion, right? This is a great time for you to act like, yeah, I got this down, Davey, right? Just devotion, you know? Because of my devotion to the house of my God, I give it to the house of my God. Here's what David did. Whatever came into his house, he brought back to God's house 10%. It's called a tithe. So you'll hear sometimes we get up, you know, and we do the tithes and offerings. We did it earlier today, which, by the way, we're not passing another offering bucket, so you don't have to worry about that. But you'll hear them say, hear the welcome person say, hey, we're going to give of our tithes and offerings to the Lord. A tithe is 10% being brought back to God. 10%. Now, some people are like, well, can I tithe 5%? No, it's not a tithe. That's just giving. And I'll show you in a second that I never advise somebody just to give 5% because God doesn't promise anything for 5%. But he promises some really great things when we bring back 10%. Now, this is the part that everybody's kind of like, So here's what I want to show you. I want to show you God's promise in Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 through 11. Look at this. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Now, take that off for a second. Why does it say bring? Why doesn't it say give? Because you're bringing it back to the person who owned it in the first place, right? Like, let's say you came up to me and you're like, hey, Davey, can I borrow your car? I'm like, yeah, sure. Here's your keys, or here's my keys. And then you took my car for a spin, and then you came back, and you're like, hey, Davey, I'm giving you a car. I'd be like, I let you drive my car because you've been smoking crack, right? You're not giving me, you're bringing me back the car that I gave you, right? Everything that we have was given to us by God. David wrote it in a different place in Psalm 24. He said, all things in the world belong to God. The whole earth therein, is what he says, belongs to God. So everything we have belongs to him. And this, it just says, Malachi 3, if you want to put that back up, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. Now, I want you to underline that word storehouse, because storehouse, every time you see that in scripture, it's always talking about the church. Okay, that was before the church was called the church. It was called the storehouse where people would bring back their tithes so it could be distributed where there was need. And so people were like, hey, what if I like tithe to charity? Okay, you don't tithe to charity because tithing is always to the local church. You can give to charity. That's a phenomenal thing to give. But 10% goes to the church. And here's why. God's plan for changing this world has always been and always will be the local church. Did you know that if every single evangelical Christian tithed, there wouldn't be any need for any of the other charities? Those charities started because the church wasn't doing their job in being the church. And I love charities, and we partner with different local charities, and we're going to continue to partner with them because they're doing things that we don't have the ability to do right now. But I'm telling you this, if a disaster were to strike in this city, there'd be all kinds of relief efforts coming in, and all the national media would come in, and they'd show all the relief efforts that were happening. But after a couple weeks, when the media dies down, all those charities leave, and guess who's in here ministering to the people who are still hurting? The church. So God, that's why God says, hey, bring back the tithe to the storehouse. And then on top of that, if you want to give and be generous, then give to charities. Okay? So bring back the tithe to the storehouse. Now look, that there may be food in my house. Aren't you glad there's food in this house? Man, aren't you glad that every time you come to church that you get inspired here, right? That this is a church that you don't have to endure, that you enjoy. Aren't you glad that every week we work really hard to lay out some food on the table for you? I'm really glad about that because sometimes I walk in here and I need to be filled back up. And that like worship sets earlier today, I got filled up by that worship set. There was food that was put on the table for me. Now here's the thing. Let me just lean in a little bit. While it's already tense, let me just lean in a little bit. There are those who will come to Resonate, but they're from another church, and they'll give to the other church, but their family gets their food here. I mean, it's just real. Like maybe you've been a part of another church for a while and you're going, hey, you know, I just don't really want to tell them that we're going to stop giving there, but really my family is getting their food here. My kids are really enjoying this here. You know what that would be like? It'd be like me going to Outback, getting me that Bloomin' Onion, you know what I'm saying? Just slathering it up with some ranch dressing, watching my figure, so ranch light. Getting me some of those cheese fries and the Outback special steak, and then leaving after I eat and going down the road to Longhorn Steakhouse and paying there. They would put me in jail. Now, here's the cool thing. The food we offer here is free. Like, it's free. And what's crazy is like so many people think, hey, we hear this thing about tithing and they're like, is God doing that because he needs my money? Yeah. God doesn't need our money. That mug makes it rain, right? I mean, he's got streets laid of gold in his house. He's loaded. God doesn't need our money. You know what I've discovered? I need to bring it back to God. I need to practice that dependence. I need to practice that trust because I need two things from God. I need his provision and his protection. And in Malachi 3, 9 through 11, it says this, and thereby put me to the test. It's the only time that God ever told him to test him. So he's like, hey man, if you don't buy into it, just test it out. And then it says, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour out for you, make it rain, a blessing until there is, look at this, no more need. So he's saying, hey, you know what? I'll be your provider. You know why a lot of us are stressed with our finances? It's because we're hanging on to the first 10% and therefore we're telling God, hey, I'm going to take care of this. I'll be the provider. And God's going, well, I don't really want you to have to carry that stress. I don't want you carrying that. I'll provide for you. Now, he didn't say that you're going to, like, all of a sudden have these, like, checks just coming through the mail and stuff. He didn't say that. He said, I'm just going to make sure that you're taking care of your need. And then he also says this. This is so cool. This is one we often overlook. Number 11, or verse 11. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear. So what he's saying is, I'm not just going to be your provider, but I'm going to be your protector. And I'm going to place this hedge of protection over your finances. That there's always things coming after your finances. Always things coming after your finances. If you're a homeowner, you know. The second you move into a home, Murphy moves in with you, right? Your AC breaks, your hot water shuts. I mean, just, there are things always after our finances. And God's going, hey, you know what? I want to put a hedge of protection around it. But first, you got to honor me. Test me. Now, I thought I'd have some fun with this. Is anybody in here have a birthday today? Anybody's birthday today that would be okay with coming up here? Anybody? Would you be okay? I've got $100 in my pocket, and I'd love to give it to you. Whose birthday is today? Everybody's like, my birthday! Anybody? Okay, how about a birthday this weekend sometime that would love to come up here and have $100? I mean, this is free. There's no strings attached. Somebody want to come up? I'm going to pick one of these poor high school students up here in a second, or a poor broke college student. Anybody? Is your birth? Come on up, Brianna. Everybody give Brianna a hand. Okay, you got to make it quick. Come on around here. I've got $100, Brianna. Come on down. Right? I love that show. Okay, so I want to show you something, okay? I want everybody to see this. Okay, I want you to count that. Just count it. Count it. How many tens are there? Ten, right? So that equals to be $100. That's good. I just told you that, so I didn't want to, put you on the spot. Now, whose money is this? It's mine, isn't it? It's my money. Isn't it my money? Right? So I am going to say, okay, you know what, Brianna? What if I make you this deal? I'm going to give you this, right? All of it, okay? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm just going to ask you to put back in my hand that first 10. Now, was that hard? Why?
Because you gave it to me.
Because I gave it to you, right? Because you get to keep $90, which is more than you came in here with, right? I mean, you can go shopping, girl. It's going to be awesome, right? Did you see how that works? God gives us our income. You might be a smart aleck and be like, well, my employer gives me the income. Okay, who gave you the opportunity to work for the job that you're in? Who gave you the intelligence and the business acumen to build whatever business that you have built? Who did it? God, right? So he owns it all. He gave you those opportunities, right? And so he's given us our income, and he's going, hey, just put back in my hand the first 10. So every time you make a dollar, you put back in my hand a dime. Every time you make 100, you put back in my hand 10. And then what he promises is, I'm going to make sure that you're taken care of. You are now being protected and provided for by me. Does that feel good? So if something happens and you're like, hey, I'm in need, God's like, oh, I'm going to make sure that Brianna is taken care of. That's the promise in Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. And listen to me, that's the promise that God says, test him in. You guys give Brianna a hand. You can keep the whole 100. Go ahead. So here's what happens. David brought back the first 10%. It was the very first step to his house being blessed. And this is what it says right here. This is why David was able to do this. Go to the next verse. Next verse in 1 Chronicles, right? David goes, but who am I? And what's my people that we should be able to thus offer willingly? David's like, man, I can't believe I get to tithe. This is awesome. Right? How many of us, if we're just honest, don't raise your hands, but like that's how you feel when it comes to talking about tithing? I mean, most of us were like, well, God says he likes a cheerful giver, because a cheerful giver says, hey, you know what, God, I'm trusting you with this. You know, a tithe means a tenth, but it also means a trust. Trusting God. And so he says, he reminds us, for all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. And then two verses later, just in case we forgot, this is what he says. He says, oh Lord our God, all this abundance. Some of you might be like, I ain't abundance. I'm not rich. Yeah. Actually, we are. You know, if you make more than $34,000 a year, you're in the top 1% in all of the world in income. You know, we talk about right now, especially in the political season, we're talking about all the one percenters. If you make more than $34,000 a year, you're in the 1%. So it's relative. We're all very wealthy. I've been to Haiti. I've seen how wealthy I am compared to them. So it says, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for the holy name comes from your hand, and is all your own. David goes, I'm gonna bring back the first 10% because one of our core convictions, it's not mine in the first place. Now, here's what's really cool, because David then goes on and he says a prayer that I just want to kind of lean in on a little bit, because I know we've got lots of parents in here. I mean, if you're a parent, don't your finances go real fast? Right? It's like they got this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. It's like, oh no, I don't have anything left, right? It's like, what happened? When I was single, some of you singles, you're like, oh, man, it's so tough. Okay. Okay. But this is David. David, toward the end of his life, he says this prayer for his son, Solomon. And this is what it says, the next verse. No, let's go to the next one. Let's skip that one. See, that just says to test your heart, right? It says, grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart. You know what, parents? If you boiled it all down, your prayer for your kids would be that they grow up loving Jesus with their whole heart, right? Here's what's crazy. I know that that's our prayer in our heart. But if we look at our bank statement, it shows something different. It shows that we want them growing up to be a Major League Baseball player. It shows that we want them growing up to be on the women's gymnastics team for the USA. It shows that we, and I'm not saying any of those are bad. Listen, I had all those opportunities, but I'm going to tell you right now, your investment speaks more about your devotion than your prayers do. Let me say that again. Your investment speaks more about your devotion than your prayers do. So if you say, hey, I really want my kid just to grow up loving Jesus, because at the end of the day, hey, listen, 22 years old, I was done with baseball. We poured a lot of money and a lot of finances into that, but at some point, my career was over. And you might have a great career, and that might be 25, 26, 27, and then it's over. And parents, if we show our kids that their God is their sport because we've been pouring so much into that, but listen, we're not willing to say, hey, you know what? I want to help build the church because the church is the hope for the next generation. I want to help pour into my kids that their first love is Jesus. If we don't do that, when they get to be my age, they're going to completely forget what's important. I'm really glad, I'll say this and I'm gonna move on to the next one. I'm really, really glad that I saw my parents every week write a tithe check. I'm so glad I saw that. And the first time I saw it, I was like, whoa, you said we couldn't afford my new cleats. That's like six times the amount of my cleats. Like, what are you? And they were like, you know what, Davey? We've realized that we just can't afford not to tithe because we want to make sure that we're under God's promises. You know why I tithe? At the end of the day, let me tell you why I tithe. Because there was a man 2,000 years ago that was nailed on a cross for me and that raised from the dead so I could walk in freedom. And I realized a long time ago, how in the world do I bellyache over a tithe at the foot of a bloodstained cross? Especially when I have God's promises that are backing it up. So, number one, the very first thing in the formula is to bring back. Number two, next thing. Now, here's the thing. Before you guys freak out, you're like, oh, we're only on number two. We're going to fly through number two and three because I believe that one of the ways, I believe that for most of us, the very first step is for us to just start bringing back the tithe. And that begins you on this stair step toward having financial peace. But the second one is to store up, to store up, to store up. So if you want to put it this way, number one would be to pay God first, even though it's not really true. Number two would be to pay yourself next. You like that, right? I'm like, I like that one. I like paying myself next. Yeah, to store up. What are we storing up for? We're storing up for the future, for purchases, for things that we know that we're going to save up. I thought about this the other day because we were riding around in my car and Weston's in the back and he was like, Daddy, I'm crackers. And we've been trying to take him off crackers because he's not eating his real food. So I'm already got my kid on a diet. It's so bad, right? You've seen him. He's like, right? It's because Ritz crackers. So I'm like, no, buddy, we're not going to have crackers right now. We're going to wait until we have dinner. And then 2 minutes later, I hear in the back, I look back and his mouth is stuffed of Ritz peanut butter crackers. He's got crumbs going all over the place. And I was like, where did you get those? What I didn't know is that he had been storing up in the little cup holder these Ritz peanut butter crackers for a time that he knew he would have need, right? I was like, that kid's going to be over our finances as a church. He's already a professional financier. But it was so simple, but the Lord spoke to me and said, hey, Davey, are you doing a good job of storing up? Because there's going to be a time where you're not going to have. And the Bible says this about what David did. It says, then David wasn't able to build the temple, so he passed along building the temple, the project, to his son Solomon, and he trained him up to show him this is the most important thing to do, is to build God's church, because it's going to affect the rest of your life and the rest of everybody else's life, and it's going to change the world. And so then it says this about Solomon. It says, Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen. He had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Imagine that, like cars, right? Like chariots. Like that's a ton. Whom he stationed in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. And the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stone. That's awesome. That mug is rich. But it says, and he made cedar as plentiful as the sycamore of Shef, whatever that place is. So this is what he's doing. He's getting this income coming in. Somehow, like, he's built this business and people are bringing in this money and this stuff. And Solomon could have spent it all. In fact, he actually, if you go read some of Ecclesiastes, he'll tell you that he actually started out trying to spend all of it, and he realized that he couldn't get fulfillment spending all of it, even though he thought he could gain fulfillment by doing that. And so he started putting together God's principles of storing up, because he knew that he was going to have to be used later in his life to build something that was way more important. How do you think Solomon got the materials to build the temple eventually? He stored up. He saved it. And here's what's really crazy. Somehow when you start storing up and saving money, and I'll talk to you in a second about what we save up for, somehow money just starts to attract to you. It's so bizarre. When you spend it, it's always gone. But when you save it wisely, money just seems to follow you. It's really weird. And I think it's a biblical principle, because Jesus said, hey, to whom little can be trusted, I can trust more with. But if you can't be trusted with little, I can't trust any more with. So here's what people will say. Well, Davey, if I made more money, if I made the money that Solomon did, I'd save. No, you wouldn't. Because saving has nothing to do with dollars, has everything to do with discipline. Come on, somebody needs to write that down. Saving has nothing to do with dollars, has everything to do with discipline. This is why people win the lottery and then they're bankrupt within 3 years. Because they don't have the discipline. This is why you see NFL player after NFL player who is crazy broke. This is why freaking Kanye. I think Mark Zuckerberg should invest in my ideas. No, Mark Zuckerberg is smarter than that. He knows the principle of stewardship. You haven't stewarded properly, Kanye, all the money that has come to you. Sorry, I don't need to get on a soapbox, but that's the point. Saving is not a dollar amount. Saving is a discipline. And so here's what we save for. I'm going to put this stuff up here for you. Right here, there's three things that we save for. Go ahead and put those up there, Jordan. We have those. Three things that we save for. Nope, that's not it. Okay, let me just give it to you right here. Emergencies, letter A. There it is. All right, emergencies, okay? Because at some point, something's going to go wrong. Do you know how much better you sleep when you've got money stored up for emergencies? You know how different your conversations are how different your relationships are when there's money set aside. I would advise 3 to 6 months of expenses stored up for emergencies, where you don't touch it unless it's an emergency. Now, emergency isn't, oh girl, I gotta get a new dress for that thing we're going to. No, that's not an emergency, okay? Emergencies. Letter B is purchases. So like big purchases, if you're saving up for a car, if you're saving up to go on vacation, okay? Newsflash, Christmas is in December this year. December 25th, to be exact. It is every year. What if right now you started saving up for Christmas a little bit at a time? $100 a month, $100 a month, $100 a month. By the time Christmas gets here, guess what? You're not charging it all to a credit card and having to try to pay it off the whole next year. You've got the money right there. You know how much better Christmas is? You know how much better vacations are when you're not like bringing your vacation home with you because you got to pay it off the whole rest of the year? Save up, right? Save up. I would say this. Put something on automation, because automation trumps determination any day. So set it up with your bank. Like, hey man, every month, I don't even want to see it. Let's do this over here, this over here, this over here. Let's save up. Then the last one is wealth building, retirement, stuff like that. Okay, let me see if I don't have time. I wish I had time. You need to get in Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. And then, yes, we have one going on right now. If you're interested in it, you can sign up at Guest Services. And he will show you all kinds of awesome stuff, because I want to get to number three real quick. Before we do that, the next verse right here, it says this. Wise store up choice food and olive oil, but a fool gulps theirs down. 75% of America, which probably means 75% of us in this room, are living paycheck to paycheck to paycheck, spending everything we have, and we wonder why we're stressed out. Hey, you know why I say this? Because you can win with your money. You can. You can. So, number three, the last thing is this. Manage well. Manage well. Manage well. I love talking about Weston. Weston is just, he knows how to make a mess. And every 18-month-old somehow knows how to make a mess, right? They come out just knowing how to poop and pee. It's just something you don't have to teach them. It just happens. Parents, we don't really know how to do this properly sometimes. I was trying to get ready the other morning, and I decided to, because he loves to run around with just a diaper on, decided to strip him of all of his clothes and just let him play around my room with just his diaper on. And I should have known better, because Weston's on a pretty regimented routine. He has morning poops at like the same exact time every morning. If you're a coffee drinker, you know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me and judge me, because if you are a coffee drinker, you are right there with me, okay? And this is Weston. He does this. And so I should have known better, but I decided to take my eyes off of him for a little bit and go over and get ready while he's playing. And I started to smell this aroma, and it wasn't a pleasant one. So I walked back in, and I was like, Weston, did you poopy? He goes, poopy. He's sitting in this white, or used to be white, laundry basket, as if he's riding around on a ship, and I walk over there, and it looks like a diarrhea atomic bomb went off inside, because he's got it all over his legs. It's now all over the basket. He's got it touched. He's touched everything in my room, and it's just poop smear everywhere. And here's what I learned. If I don't pay careful attention to him, he's going to make a mess. Hey, you know what? Our finances are the same way. If we don't pay careful attention to our finances, if we don't manage them well, it will result in a mess. So here's one word I want you to write down. I know this is kind of a cuss word for a lot of people. Ready? You ready for it? You ready? Budget. 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 Budget is telling your money where to go. And I can promise you, if you tell your money where to go at the very beginning of the month, it will always go where you told it to go. Because you are in control of it, right? You budget for your expenses. So you can say, hey, pay God first, pay yourself next, right? And then pay everybody else. That's bring back, store up, and manage well. And this is the thing. This is what the Bible says right here about managing well. Keep Be sure you know the condition of your flocks. Look, give careful attention to your herd. So let me give you these things real quick. Write these down. If you're trying to figure out how to budget, what do I start with? Where do I go? After you have brought back the first tithe, and then you've saved for the things you need to save for, this is the last thing that you need to start budgeting for right here. Ready? Food. This is not eating out every week or every night, right? Shelter. Clothing. This does not mean another trip to H&M. These are like the needs, transportation, and utilities. When those things are budgeted, whatever's left over is your surplus. Because the Bible says you got to take care of your family, right? That if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an unbeliever. And so you got to make sure that food, shelter, clothing, transportation, utilities are all taken care of. And then after that, okay, hey then, man, let's have some fun. But look. Dave Ramsey says this. I wish I could take credit for it, but this is what he says. If you live like no one else now, later you can live and give like no one else. Okay, so just a review, and then we're going to close. Bring back, store up, manage well. Now, I know I didn't spend a lot of time, and where's my Holy Spirit keys guy? Come on. I didn't spend a lot of time on points 2 and 3, and here's why. Because there's so much that we could talk about in points 2 and 3 when it comes to saving and when it comes to budgeting. And so here's what I want to tell you. There's two things that we're going to offer you today, okay, that we always offer. This is just something I want to tell you today. One is free financial coaching. Free. F-R-E-E. No strings attached. Free financial coaching. We have phenomenal people in this church that say, hey man, if you need help, I'd love to sit down with you and just take a look at your finances and help you put together a plan. Like I said, we have a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace class that's going on right now. And honestly, I'm saying this, they might have to figure out how the heck to do this, but you can jump in on it now if you want to. Okay, I hope I didn't just throw somebody into complete chaos. But you can jump in on it now because we want so badly for you to win with your finances. We want the pressure of that to be lifted from you. Okay? The other thing is I want to issue you this. Maybe you're like, man, I've been really challenged by this tithing thing, Davey. I just feel like God's pressing on my heart to do this. I don't know. Here's what I want to tell you. Today, we're enacting a 90-day tithe challenge. 90-day tithe challenge. For the next 90 days, you bring back the first 10%, okay? And if you don't see God come through on his promises, if you don't see something supernatural take place in your finances, if you don't see that, come back and tell us, and we'll give you all of that back, okay? I know it's crazy, but I trust God's promises that much. And if you're like, hey, Davey, I don't really know if I trust this church yet. I mean, you got holes in your jeans, so I don't know if you can. I'm not sure about this, right? Here's the deal. The 90-day tithe challenge doesn't issue with this, but if you don't trust this church, here's what I want to tell you. Go tithe to another church because God's promises are God's promises, whether it's here at Resonate or whether it's in a church down the road. Try it out there. I just want so badly for you to win with your money. I want so badly for us as a group of people to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to hold close-fisted on my stuff because I know it's not my stuff at all anyways. I wonder what it'd look like if a group of people got together and said, you know what? It's not mine to hold close-fisted. The only thing I'm holding close-fisted onto is God's promises. Everything else in my life, I'm open-handed with. God, you do whatever you want to do with my life. You do whatever you want to do. You ask me to do whatever you want me to do because I know in that there is blessing, in that there is fulfillment, in that there is purpose. And look, when you open your hands up to God, it leaves room for him to put more in it. I just want to be a church that God says, those people are devoted to me. Here we go. Let's do something about that zone one that I was talking about a couple weeks ago. Let's do something about zone 2 and zone 3 and zone 4 and zone 5 and zone 6. Let's actually make a difference in this city because a group of people got together and said, hey, you know what? We are devoted. We're devoted to what God said in his word about our finances. You know, we can make a big difference if we got this thing under control. let me just show you this before we close. I wasn't going to show you this, but I want to show you what a big difference that we can make. You know, there's less than 5% of evangelical Christians that actually tithe. You know, if every evangelical Christian tithed, we would have $165 billion at the church's disposal a year. Let me show you where that could go. It's going to take $25 billion to relieve global hunger, starvation, deaths from preventable diseases in 5 years. 5 years, that's all it takes, $25 billion. $12 billion could eliminate the illiteracy in 5 years. $15 billion could solve the world's water and sanitation issues, specifically at places in the world where 1 billion people live on less than $1 per day. And $1 billion could fully fund all overseas missions. If you add all that up and you subtract it by $165 billion, you know what you get? You still have $123 billion at your disposal to change the world after we've changed the world. Isn't that crazy? That's what I'm saying. God's going, hey, you know what? If my church would just trust me, we could change the world. Shoot, we'd go and write off the entire debt of our country next, right? Forget the political leaders. Let's let the church do this. We got to trust God. So, what's your next step? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I just feel really deeply in my heart that, especially because this is such a sensitive issue when it comes to money, there's so much, man, even right now in your heart, there's just wrestling. There's resistance. It's like, I just don't know. And I also feel that there's some people in here that, man, there's no way in the world you could trust God with your finances because you've never trusted Jesus with your eternity. You've never trusted Jesus with your sin. You've never trusted Jesus to say, hey, you know what? Jesus, I'm tired of doing this on my own. I want to do this your way now. Me doing it on my own has just gotten me to dead end after dead end after dead end after dead end. And I want to surrender to you. I want to give you my life. I want your forgiveness. I want your healing. I want your cleansing. I want your purpose in my life. I want fulfillment. And if that's you, I want to walk you through a very simple prayer. It's just an acknowledgement of the fact that you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin and that he raised from the dead so that you could have victory over your sin. That you could climb out of every pitfall that you might fall into through the power of Jesus Christ. So just say this simple prayer after me if that's you. Just say, dear Jesus, I know that I need you. I need to trust you. I've tried to do this all on my own, and it's just miserable. So today I yield to you. I ask that you would come into my life, forgive me of my sins, power wash my soul, make me into a new creation. Today I want to give you my life. Pray that you would teach me from this day forward how to follow after you. In your name I pray. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, and every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you, if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, would you just do me a favor right there where you're sitting? Would you just put your hand straight up in the air and say, Davey, today I prayed that prayer to receive Christ. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Today? Amen. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else? Put your hand up and hold it up high. Amen. Today I prayed to receive Christ. Amen. Anybody else? Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. You can put your hands down. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to say this before we go into this next song. If you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, man, we are so excited for you. This is not the finish line for you. You're jumping out of the starting blocks, and we want to help you with your next steps. We want to help you to learn how to trust Jesus every step of the way. And that's not just in your financial life. That's in every area of your life. So if you would stop by guest services and let us know, hey, I prayed to receive Christ, or tell the person that invited you, hey, today I prayed to receive Christ. I just need him. I've been doing this on my own, and I need him today. Just tell them, because we want to help you. in those next steps. In fact, in a second, we're going to be seeing some next steps in baptism. We're baptizing, last I heard, about 12 people, which is going to be awesome. So before we go into this last song, before we celebrate together in baptism, let me pray for us. And then let's move into this next time of singing, in worship. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you've done today. Thank you, Jesus, that from what I can tell of hands raised, Jesus, you saved right at 7 people on a message about money. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you're moving and you're working. And so I just pray right now that you would put a reminder in our hearts, that you would solidify this in our hearts, that as we trust you, Jesus, you pour out blessing on our lives. You pour out fulfillment in our lives. You pour out peace in our lives, even through the rockiest storms, even through the most tumultuous waters, Lord Jesus. You are with us. You are for us. You go before us, Jesus. We thank you for that. God, we lift this up to you now and we celebrate together. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you guys stand with us? Let's sing this last song together.